الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So those who are joining via teleconference, if they have internet access, they could go to dimdim.com and then just type in join meeting, and the name of the room is Pure Way, and you can just put your name, and that way you can be hands-free during the talk if that's more accessible, because we have that, we've had some AV issues with the teleconferencing. So now we have both ways, so inshallah everyone will be able to hear adequately. There's so many lessons to be learned in life. So recently I had the opportunity to grout a floor. Right? So we're grouting the floor, and between the tiles there's joints. So you need to basically float the grout so that it gets between the joints. Now, little did I know that if you, and so I tried to wipe it up right as I was going along, but little, and I was trying to be careful that I don't use too much water, because last time I used too much water and it sank between the joints. So this time I was using very less water, and when I didn't use enough water, then the grout dried on the top, right? And so what was normally maybe a 15, or not even a 15, maybe 1 minute job, right? Literally required 3 or 4 hours of strenuous effort to remove the grout from the surface of the tile, right? And even then, it wasn't perfect and it wasn't pristine, right? Now, there's a lesson in that, in the sense that when a person sins, right, when a person messes up, when a person ceases to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person doesn't follow out on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we know that a black stain comes upon them. Now, the person who is wise, right, removes the stain immediately. Because if you remove it immediately and don't give it time for it to set, right, it's very easy to take it out. But a person who ignores it, and ignores it, and ignores it, and lets it set, then it becomes extremely, extremely, extremely difficult, right, to remove that stain. This is something that college students understand very well, right, because they're dishes will lie in their sink, right? They'll say that, okay, I'll take care of it tomorrow. And then today I got to study for the exam, then I'll take care of it tomorrow. And that same pot, which had been so easy to, you know, wash that same 5 minutes, the same day, then they're scrubbing, and then it's not getting out with that, and they need to get the special cleaner, and then you need to get scrub boy and make sure that, and even then, after scrubbing so much, it doesn't come so clean as it should be. It doesn't come out as clean as one would like. Now it's constantly, it's permanently marred, permanently scarred. And in the process of scrubbing it so briskly, right, you end up damaging the vessel as well. So the wise person, right, anytime he messes up, right, anytime he slips, anytime he sins, then he follows up a bad deed with a good deed. Right? That's lesson number one. Follow every bad deed with a good deed. And it's preferable, if you have the ability, that you follow that bad deed, you follow that bad deed with a good deed from that same category. Right? So if, for example, a person was not able to control their gaze, right, and they looked at something bad, then go and open the Quran and look at the Quran. Or at the same time, you looked at something wrong, then the very next response is that now you're looking down constantly, right? And so the example is that of a paper. If you've ever folded a paper one way, right? And now there's a crease on the paper, and you want that crease to, you want the paper to become straight again, right? Because we want our lives to be straight, right? We don't want any type of deviation, any type of creases in our faith, in our iman. Then you got to twist it the other way. Right? And sometimes when it's really thin, then you actually have to roll it all the way on the other side to try to flatten it out. So when a person sins or does a bad deed, you're flipping it one way. then you got to flip it the other way. You ended up lying, right? And so now you go and read some Quran, you read some zikr, say a good word to someone else, do an act of, you know, preaching. Something that out of that very tongue that you use in the disobedience of Allah, you're giving a very clear signal to your own nafs, to your lower self, that you're not going to get away so easily. Right? You're not in charge. Right? Fine. I slipped up once, but I'm right back on the horse. I'm back on the saddle. I'm going to make it straight. I'm going to make it right with Allah. Right? And when a person does a good deed, the beautiful and amazing thing is that it wipes out the bad deed. Right? The minor sins can sometimes get wiped out by just doing the good deeds. That means you don't have to go the extra mile. I mean, one should make istighfar, one should make tawbah, but sometimes just by virtue of doing the good deed, you can actually clean the slate. Right? SubhanAllah. So anyway, so after several hours, in the wee hours of the morning, scrubbing it down, we're able to get off the thick grout that lay on the top. Then you have to let it sit for 24 hours or so. And then when I came back and you looked at it, right, then you turn on the lights, and then you look at the floor, you'll notice that in spot 1, in spot 2, and then the more you looked, the more you saw, on every single tile there was residue. So Allahu Akbar, got my work cut out for me. Right? Allahu Akbar. And so then I went to work, right, for a little while. And then later on, I went and asked my wife, right, when we moved back into the house, I said that, look, I'm going to be scrubbing the floor, but I want a second eye there, right? Because the floor, if it's done right, it shines like a mirror, right? You can actually see the ceiling in the floor, right? Because if it's really clean, right? And that's what you want. We want our hearts to be spotless, right? We want them to be pristine. No type of haze, no type of, you know, cloudiness should exist within them. Should exist within the surface or the being of our heart, our spiritual hearts. So then I said, I want a second eye. Right? I want a second eye. To make sure that I don't miss a spot. And this is something that we want to adopt in our daily lives. Right? Is calling in backup, right? Calling in that second eye to make sure we're on the straight and narrow. You know, oftentimes it's so symptomatic of our day and age that when a person is corrected, the initial response is to defend oneself, right? Automatic response, someone tells you you're doing something wrong, you're like, oh, but X, Y, and Z. Or the reason I was doing it was this. Or yeah, but this, right? Or you're trying to make an argument. No one likes to be corrected because people like to live in this, you know, a fool's paradise that they are perfect. The only ones, people who are perfect, right? Only Allah is truly perfect, right? But human beings, the people who are sinless, are the Anbiya. There's only two types of people besides the prophets. There's those who have mistakes, right? And realize it. And there's those who have mistakes and faults that don't realize it, right? There's only two types of people. Everyone has faults. It's just some people are more cognizant than others. So what happens is, you have this floor, and then you try to see the light bouncing down on the floor, then you try to, you know, move from tile to tile and shine down the light to make sure that every single tile is perfect, right? And similarly, in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for free, right? By no doing of our own, as a bonus, sends so many different lights, so many different, you know, sources of radiance to make sure we can find out what's going on. So a person who knows, who's married, for example, will often know that the criticism of the wife can often be the most biting, right? Can know that it's because they know they touch your very being. And the immediate response for many husbands is to get angry, right? To shut it down. Also, children have an uncanny ability, right? To point out the faults that exist within the elders, right? And what is the initial response, right, of the elder? Shut it down, right? Start getting angry. Who are you to tell me? Or say that, oh, you don't know anything. When you grow up, you understand. All the time inside, though, the person, if they really look, if they allow themselves to look, they would know that there's some truth to that. Know that if a person has an ability to see their own faults, this is a blessing, not a bane. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends someone to you to show you those faults, then that is a blessing, not a pain. Right? If you have... So some people say that, okay, I have neither married nor do I have children, so who's going to correct me? Oftentimes it's your teachers. Oftentimes it might be your parents. Oftentimes it might be your brothers or sisters. Usually not your friends. Right? Sometimes you hear it from your friends, but usually not. Oftentimes you hear it sometimes from your brothers or sisters, especially if they're a younger brother or sister. Oh, Baya, why are you doing that? Right? Or why did you say that? Or, and then initially, because you're in a situation of power, you want to exert control. Clamp down. Close that voice. Because that voice is speaking to you of your own self. Right? And that's very uncomfortable. So if there are people who are joining through teleconference, if they can mute off their phones, that will help with a little bit of the, you know, dissonance in terms of sound waves. Do you want to put the speaker off in here?
Should I?
That's a good idea. But it's still, I mean, those people who are still calling in, it'll still be a disturbance to them. So, the initial response when someone corrects you should not be a counter-argument, right? The initial response should be Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me someone. Praise be to God that He has given me someone that is allowing me to know where I can develop myself, where I can improve myself. Look, anyone who's played any significant basketball knows that they take certain pride. If you're decent, you take pride in your game, right? You don't like to be criticized. You don't want anyone to tell you you have a poor crossover, right? Or that your free throw shots are broke. No one likes that, right? No one likes that constructive criticism. Sometimes it's not so constructive. Depends who it's coming from. But when someone gives you that criticism, right? The initial person is like, man, I could burn you, right? Why don't you get on the floor, I'll show you what's up. Right? Instead of saying that, they say, hey, maybe I can improve my free throw. The person who takes it constructively is the person who's going to improve. Right? The person who thinks he's great, he'll never know what his flaws are, he'll never know what his quote-unquote Achilles heel is, and then they never know what to really perfect himself on. The person who's actually trying to become better seeks out opportunities to make his game perfect. Right? Because when you actually perform, then you see the results of that. Look at the Olympic players, right? The Olympics are going on right now. I didn't know that they were going on right now. But now all these Google signs are making sense to me, right? Why the Olympics are going on. I overheard someone saying that at work, that the Olympics are going on. But these gymnasts, for example, right? They have people watch them so, like, with a hawk's eye, right? Hawk's eye. Because they say it's better to get this criticism here so I can... You know, redeem myself, I can rectify myself, but when I go and I'm out on the mat, right, and the rest of the world is watching, I don't want to mess up. I want to score a 10. That's the way we should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyam, it's better that we get all the criticism on this world than what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us those very questions on the day of Qiyam. We want to score a 10 on that day. Right? And anyone who helps us improve our game, in our deen, right, in our religion, in our faith, in our taqwa, in our sabr, in our tawakkul, in any aspect of our life, anyone who tries to improve our game, that's your best friend. That's your friend. Your friend is not the person who butters you up, right, and make honeycoats everything to make you feel like you're the best person on the earth. Because again, right, by someone telling you something doesn't change the reality. And one must realize that, look, when you're wrong, right, say you can get the other person to be quiet. Maybe you can argue your point, and this is actually very loathsome of an equality. When people argue just for the sake of argument, when they know they're wrong, right? When they know they're wrong, just to try to protect themselves. Fine, you win the argument. Does that make you right? You're still as wrong when you started as when you ended. You're just as wrong, but you added fuel to the fire, right? Because you lied. You tried to prove something which was false. You just added sin upon sin upon sin. And you're still in the same shoes. So a person walks away with his chest puffed up. Man, I showed him. Right? But then in the back of his mind, it's still gnawing at him. Right? Yeah, you know, and then he's trying to... The nafs is coming up with points. Yeah, next time he brings this, then I can tell him this. Right? The nafs is always... never wants to be wrong. He wants to see itself as perfect. Right? Kalla hasha. That's not the way. The person who knows, right? Al-mu'minu min al-ajr al-mu'min. The mu'min is a mirror for the believer. So if you're, you know, when you go up to a mirror and you look, people look very closely, right, in the mirror. Depending on who you are, right? But generally, people are very assiduous about the way they approach the mirror, right? They want to make sure every strand of hair is right. And they want to make sure that there's no spot of their, no, there's no spots of hair that's left, you know, that it would look unseemly, right, if someone were to see them. Because they want to fix themselves in the mirror, right? They want to fix themselves in the mirror, so when they go out, right, they don't get any criticism. Right? They want to be shining. You're a mu'min, your true friend. Your true friend is that person, right? A true believer is that person who reflects you. Right? When he sees you something doing something wrong, he's like, dude, don't do that. That's wrong. Right? As hard as they may be, as difficult as that may be, because never hard, it's always hard to say, to be the whistleblower. It's always hard. But that's your true friend. Right? And when you make this mutual relationship with someone else based on this, right? That I'm going to help you improve and you help me improve, that's a very, very, very deep relationship. That is one of the reasons why the relationship between a sheikh, between a teacher and a staff and his murid, with his student, is so deep. Right? Because that's what the teacher is doing constantly. He's reflecting back, right, on the student, that this is wrong. No, don't do this. Do this. Right? And he has to do that, right? قُلُ الْحَقُّ وَلَا كُرَّ وَلَا كَانَ مُرَّ. Say the truth even if it be bitter. Right? Just like it's not easy for me and you to say the truth to the person X or person Y. Right? Similarly, it's not easy oftentimes for the teacher to say that, no, this is wrong, but you gotta call a spade a spade. That's your responsibility. And it's the responsibility of the student when he gets corrected not to make excuses, not to give a counter argument. Just take it. Swallow it. Swallow your pride. Let it go in. Right? You're not gonna lose out. I'll give you one example of one student. He emails his teacher, right? He emails his teacher that, I sometimes eat the meals, the vegetarian meals that they bring at work. And the teacher mailed back something that you're playing with poison. Now the student very easily could have emailed back, but, you know, I tried to make sure that they don't, he said, basically eat from home, you're playing with poison. You could have said that, no, I call them and make sure they don't mix it up with the meat and this and that. No, that student, pin drop silence. He said, that's fine. In this is my khair. If I have to be extra careful, even if I have to look bad, right? Even if he has the wrong impression of me, it's better than he has the wrong impression of me because at least he'll correct me. I'll become something better because of it. Right? He could have argued back and the teacher said, okay, fine, just go ahead. But then he would not have improved. He missed a chance, an opportunity for moving to the next stage. Right? So you tell the, you know, you tell your son that, why did you hit the other son? Right? Why did you hit your sister? Right? Why did you hit your brother? Right? He says, oh, no, but he hit me first. Right? The true student, the true child would say what? Okay, I'm sorry. Right? I'm sorry. Hands up. I'm sorry. Right? It's my fault. Even if he hit him first. Right? Because then what's the point in him? He hit me first, I hit him first. Then at the end of the day, I hit him. Next time I can refrain from hitting him, I can take the higher road, and then I will become a better person. Right? مَنْ خَاضَ عَلِ اللَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever becomes humble for the sake of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him. This is a principle in the deen. Right? You just become humble. You put yourself down. You put yourself down lower than your level is. Right? So you have a BA and people think you only finished high school, alhamdulillah. Right? You have an MD, people think that you only finished your BS, alhamdulillah. You're in the Med Scholars program and people think that you're just going to SNU as a normal program, alhamdulillah. Let people think that you're less than what you are. That is the way of elevation. Allah will elevate you. And at the very least, you're elevated in Allah's eyes. Right? People hate to be seen as less than what they are because they think they're something. The worst person is a person who thinks that he's something that he's not. Right? And he tries to claim that. That person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will disgrace him. Another person has a certain level, right? And he wants to claim that level. But the best person is the person who even seeks, who is comfortable with seeking a level under the level that he quote-unquote is at. Right? Just take the way of humility. That is the high road. That is the road of the soul. Right? That is the road of tazkiyah. The people who are purifying themselves, they just take it. Just eat it. Right? If your parents tell you something, anytime in the rest of your life you see some type of criticism, don't give a counter-argument. Just take it. Even if you're right. even if you're right, just take it and see that how can I do, take this to take it to the next level, because you don't get that often. How many times have someone actually come to you and said, this is wrong with you? It doesn't happen, right? When it happens, use that as a power boost. Use that to go to the next level. And by doing that, right, that's how you get the grime off the tile. That's how you get the grime off the thing, until your floor, not the floor, but our hearts will be shining like a mirror. And then we'll be reflecting that nur unto our brothers. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who have clean and shining hearts, who are able to cleanse their hearts immediately after performing any type of, if they happen to perform any type of bad deed. And He makes us amongst those who are sincere seekers of advice. It is as Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, he said, I never got into discussion, right, with anyone, except that I wish, except that I hope, that I hear the truth on the tongue of the other person. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Right? This is one of the reasons why so many people in the known world throughout time have followed his understanding of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Right? These were people of substance. Right? That's not a small thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that same commitment to the truth and that same humility. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So as we do every week, we spend some time quietly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contemplating on various ayahs from the Qur'an and others various formulae. It's a time for quiet self-reflection. For those who are signing on through teleconference or through the internet, they can go through sacredlearning.com and download the zikr sheets from there. And it should be in PDF format, and you can sort of contemplate over the verses and the meanings over there. I'll just mention the verse once, and a person will just basically recite it to themselves. So,
do we have zikr sheets?
There's no more.
Oh, where?
We're out. Usually keep them in a folder. Folder's not there.
I have some in my car. Run down there.
Do you have some in your car? Rishad? That's fine, don't worry about it. I think, most of the people know it. They've been here. They're regulars. I can put it on here. Let's put it on the computer if anybody wants it. So do you know where they are on the secret learning webpage?
Yeah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And when I say salawat, we'll just send blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله ولي الذين آمنوا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ولي المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Next we'll take just a few minutes to follow out on the ayah of the Quran. واذكر ربك في نفسك and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in thyself, i.e. in your own heart. So let's take a few moments from our life. I mean, sometimes some of us may do it on a daily basis, and for those who are doing it, that's wonderful. For others, at least once a week, inshallah, she takes an opportunity to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who provides us everything that we have. Raqaba. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad Mubarak wa sallim. So what we will do is we'll take a 5-minute break just to set up and so people can stretch their legs and get ready for Arabic class. So those who are staying, you know, 5-minute break, inshallah, we'll commence. Jazakallah.